All right, if you'll turn to Psalm 112 one more time, we'll finish up tonight what we began last week on Sunday morning, and we continue this morning taking a look at the matter of faithful, godly men that's leading up to Father's Day, and also here today on Father's Day, we've been trying to look at this subject, and we've said that what our world really needs today is some more men who are faithful and godly. Even though we got a lot of ladies that are in here tonight, it's not that there's nothing in here for you. What applies to the men really also applies to you. It applies primarily to the men because they're the head of the family. But the family unit, we know, needs proper leadership of men. And if you're the leadership in the family, you need these characteristics too in your life. Amen. And when men are fulfilling their God-given assignment as spiritual leaders in the homes, the home we know is a stable, secure, and a very satisfying place to be. But when men are not that way, when men fail, the home falls apart, and all of society really reaps the consequences of that. And that's what we've been taking a look at. And rather than read the whole of chapter number 112 again, I just want to read verses 1 and 2 again. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now tonight I want to wrap this up, and I want to challenge us in some specific areas that I believe will help as we seek to become, as the men seek to become Psalm 112 type men, and as we all seek to become Psalm 112 type people, and people who are that fear the Lord and that delight greatly in the commandments of the Lord. Number one thing what you see tonight is we need to acknowledge the power of our influence. Amen. Acknowledge the power of your influence. The Bible is very clear, and I think we understand this more than just from Scripture. We understand it from a personal standpoint. Your life affects the lives of other people, doesn't it? We all affect those that are around us, either to a positive degree or a negative degree. And even somebody that you say, well, I don't have the influence over so-and-so. You know, I could have had a positive influence, or I could have had a negative influence, but I just didn't have any influence. You know that no influence is still an influence. If you could have had a positive influence on them and you didn't, that's a negative, isn't it? It really is. Romans 14, verse number 7, tells us that none of us live to himself, and no man died to himself. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. We know Ephesians 5 addresses the husband-wife relationship. And men, you know, you can have a powerful influence on your wives. We need to realize that we've been given the place of authority in the home. But with authority comes what? Responsibility. Amen? A lot of people, they want that authority. They like being the boss and calling the shots. But when it comes to the responsibility that falls with that authority, that's where they're lacking at. And here in Ephesians 5, in verse number 23, it says there, therefore, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. I'm glad that Christ didn't drop the ball in his relationship to us. He didn't drop it, did he? And he fulfilled his responsibilities in the place of authority that he had. And just as Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife. And with that authority comes responsibility. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So it gives us that high responsibility, shows us the great manner in which we are to love our wives. It's the same manner in which Christ loved the church. Christ loved us. And we know that Christ had our best interests in mind in Him. He loved us so that, He says, verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. It was all about us. Yeah? Christ had us in mind when He went to the cross. It was all about cleaning us up. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I'm glad that Christ loves us and He cherishes the church. And He has loving kindness, watches over us in each and everything. Same responsibilities that we have as men in our home. You can have that's a powerful influence in it. Very powerful. Second thing we see, you can have a powerful influence on your children. Down in chapter number 6 there, Ephesians 6, verse number 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've said this before, remember when my firstborn was born, Charity, Doc takes that baby immediately from my wife and plops him in my hand. Plops her right there. And it's kind of like, what hath God wrought? the weight of that responsibility. You kind of think about it until the child is there. When the child's there, there's that responsibility. And it's lifelong in it. We've seen how that Psalm 112, verse number 2, speaks of that influence as it relates to our children. Talks about our seed being blessed. Talks about the generations being blessed. And I shared with you some figures last Sunday morning in my introduction about the importance of fathers. I don't want to go over those again, but those statistics show that children raised in homes without a father do not fare as well as those who are raised in a home with a father. Just makes sense, doesn't it? Just makes sense. Listen to this quote from a secular source. It says here, and this is from David T. Moore in a book called Five Lies. And he says, from relationships to education to mental instability to crime, one factor looms as the most significant contributor. A home without a dad. How sad. Can I tell you that statistics aren't much better for two-parent homes when the dad isn't the spiritual leader that he needs to be? When you are not a faithful, godly man, you stand a chance of not only wrecking your life, but also the lives of your wife and your children also. And of course, that just really complicates itself because they can't have the influence on their families. You see the domino effect, how it affects for generations. Can you see how the generational sin that was spoken of by the Lord in Moses' time? He talked about, I'm going to visit your sin upon the third and fourth generations. You understand how that happens? Somebody drops the ball here, it's just a rolling wreck down the line. And when you're not faithful, when you're not a faithful, godly man, you stand a chance there not wrecking your own life, but also the lives of your wife and children also. So we have an influence upon our wives. We have an influence upon our children. We have also a powerful influence upon others. I want you to think for a minute. Think of the influence that Elijah had on young Elisha. And Elisha wanted, he saw what Elijah had, and he said, I want a double portion of that. I'd say that's a powerful influence. When you think of the influence that Paul had on young Timothy, he wrote two instructional letters to help young Timothy out. You see that influence beginning in the book of Acts. You see how Paul was careful and working in the young Timothy's life. Timothy needed that. He needed that influence. And as men, and we have an influence on other folks' lives, don't we? And when you women, you have an influence also over other young ladies. And you are to have influence over other young ladies. Titus, the book of Titus that Paul wrote to Titus, he talked about how that the aged women are to teach the younger women. That's an influence, isn't it? And so we need to acknowledge the power of our influence, guys, over our wife, over our children, over others. And second thing I want you to see tonight is you need to avoid the pitfalls of your masculinity. You know, there's some hazards that come with just being a male. The fact that we were born with the old Adamic sin nature actually works against us. We know that. But praise God, if we're saved, we've been given a new nature, God's divine nature. Now, the question is, which nature are you going to let control you? That old nature or the new nature? We do not have a natural bent toward godliness, do we? In fact, our natural bent is towards sinfulness and selfishness. And we as men, we have our own unique brand of sinfulness and selfishness. We do. Let me share with you three pitfalls that come with being a man that will be reflected in your family life if they are in your life. Number one, there's a pitfall of being arrogant. Proverbs 8, verse number 13, tells us what the Lord thinks of arrogancy. It said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So God hates arrogancy. And 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 3 says, talk no more exceedingly proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. God's looking at everything we do, men and women, and He's weighing those actions that we have. Somebody said it this way, that men are 90% ego wrapped up in skin. I don't know about that percentage. You know, probably pretty close. But we know that men have their own unique version of pride and arrogance. We do have an ego-driven mentality as men. A lot of us guys like to think we're Rambo, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Chuck Norris, and Albert Einstein all wrapped up into one, but we're not. Not even close. Not even close. Our pride and arrogancy is what drives most of the other common failures and mistakes that we make as husbands and fathers. There's also the pitfall of being absent or aloof. We've already mentioned it, but I reiterate, one of the worst things a man can do is to walk out on his family. You know, that's devastating to a family. Have you noticed how there are many men who are running away from their responsibilities in our culture in this day and time which we live? Millions of kids, of course, are growing up in homes without any father figure. I read where, and I believe that this is true. Y'all know I've worked in the prison ministry for a good 9.5 years when I was up in the Middle Tennessee area. And I saw this statistic. It says 70% of men in prison grew up without a father in the home. I think that's probably pretty close from what I've seen when I was there. Some dads are absent because they run out on their family. But can I tell you that some dads are absent because they are disconnected from their family, even though they may be living under the same roof? You know, you can be present without being present. I mean, you be present physically, but you're not really in tune with what's going on in the family. Kids need a dad who is present for them and one who is fully concerned about them and fully involved in their lives. They need a dad who gives them good example to model their lives after. Then there's the pitfall of being angry or abusive. Proverbs 29, verse 22 says that an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Yeah, anger is not good, is it? It's not good for us. It's not good within the family context. But many men are angry and don't even know what they're angry about. But they're angry and hostile in their personalities and their temperaments. And that anger is regularly revealed through violent, sharp tempers, hostile, hateful words, bitter, negative attitudes. I mean, the rate of men abusing their wives and children is astounding. We see it on the TV all the time, don't we? See some child, some poor child, and you say, you know, how could a dad or mom do that to their children, you know. But yet it goes on. We're living in such stressful and demanding times that a lot of men are like a volcano that builds up pressure and then all of a sudden it explodes and causes mass casualties. Wives and children are usually caught in that wake. The real man, faithful, godly man, never abuses his wife or children. A male who is abusive, could I tell you, is not really a man. He's just, in reality, just a loser. He really is. And by the way, one can be an abuser without ever using a fist. Doesn't have to physically abuse. And the abuse that comes from inflicting verbal or emotional abuse can be just as damaging, if not more so, have longer-term application there. Guys, we need to acknowledge the power of our influence, avoid the pitfalls of our masculinity, and number three, properly arrange the priorities of our lives. Now, we saw this in our text there in Psalm 112. I believe one of the biggest problems with men and women today is that all their priorities are just mixed up. They got everything out of whack. You get everything out of whack as far as how things are supposed to be lined up. And you put you don't put what should be first in your life, you got some big problems. If we were to look at families that break apart, I believe we would find that the cause for breakup in most cases, if not every case, can be traced to the priorities that are being messed up in folks' lives. And if we don't get our priorities arranged in the way they should be, we can't expect anything else but problems to take place in our lives. Problems with our marriage, problems with our children, problems with our health, problems with our work, with most every important area of life, those problems are going to be exacerbated by the very fact that we have our priorities out of whack. There is a scale of right priorities implied here in Psalm 112. A man's first priority must be His God. That's what it's talking about there in verse number one. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That's got to be number one, folks. Be number one. And by the way, ladies, that needs to be number one in your life. If man needs to fear the Lord and needs to be the proper example to his wife and children, what do they need to do? Well, that needs to be first on their list too. Fearing the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments. So, a man's first priority must be his God. We know that sometimes we can get away from where we need to be. And in Matthew 6, verse number 33, says, "We seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And we need to ask ourselves, it kind of goes back to last Sunday night's message, where is your love? Well, is Christ your first love? We don't need to answer that too quickly. We need to think about it. Do you have a hunger and a passion to know Christ better, to know God better? Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Philippians 3:10 said, Paul said that he wanted to know Christ better. He said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." You know, is Christ first? Are you pursuing the knowledge of Christ through prayer and the study of God's Word and faithfully submitting yourself to Bible teaching and preaching? Peter had it right when he wrapped up the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 18, and he encouraged us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is God first and foremost in your thoughts when you are making the decisions about your secular life? You know, really, the life of a Christian, there is no secular life. All of our life really is supposed to be Christianity. Christianity is supposed to guide every aspect of our lives. But we like to say, okay, that's my religious life, and then I've got my other life over here. It really should be melded together, but secular meaning your life outside of church. When you talk about your job, your leisure activities, your recreation, your personal finances, your education, listen, Christ wants to be involved in all of that. God wants to be involved. He wants the direction in your life in each and every aspect. And one aspect of your life you leave God or leave Christ out, you are going to suffer for that. And your family's going to suffer. Do you give the Lord first place in your time priorities? What does your calendar reveal about the importance that you have placed on the things of God as opposed to the things of this world? You know, somebody that can show up consistently on time for work or a ball game or anything else, but you can't consistently be on time for church, what does it say about your priorities? Yeah. What does it say about you when you can be depended on at other places, but you can't be depended on at church and the house of God? Again, in the finance area, do you give the Lord first place in your finances? What does your spending reveal about what's important to you? Think about, what if somebody dug up your records, your financial records, in the year 3000? Okay, they're digging along. You know how these archaeologists are. They like to dig up. They're still digging up stuff over in St. Augustine. You saw the other day where they dug up and found a horse. Well, big surprise. They rode horses back in that day, and a horse died, and they buried the horse. And they're taking time to dig the dead horse up. I don't know, folks. To me, that seemed like a big waste of time. Anybody else? Yeah. It's not like the horse is a dinosaur. You know, it was back during the time when that fort was there. I think that they probably on the government dole, and they got to justify their being there. Anyway, let's get back to the message. But if somebody dug up your financial records in the year 3000, what would they conclude about you and your life? You know, you can tell a lot about folks by how they spend their money, can't you? You really can. I had the job one time of doing an audit on an individual who I was an accountant for a CPA firm in Nashville, Tennessee. Whenever I was preaching in the prison ministry, that's how I supported my family while I was preaching in prisons to begin with, and then I had my own business there for a little while. But when I was working with this large, very large CPA firm, the head partner, one of the very first partners, there was some financial improprieties that the other partners were concerned about, and I had to audit this guy's records. Well, you know, I could tell all kinds of good things about him just by looking at his financial records. I can tell you what kind of fella he was. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight because all that stuff's personal and private. But what I'm saying is, you tell me where you spend your money, I can tell a lot about you. Now, the Lord may have a place in your life, but let me ask you, is it first place? Remember Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's what we looked at last Sunday night, amen? Just kind of worked right in with what we're talking about tonight. So a man's first priority and a woman's first priority must be to God. A man's second priority must be to his family. And as it talks about there in Psalm 112, verse number 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Generation of the upright shall be blessed. You know, many men are failing when it comes to their families. Some are failing to spend enough time with their families. Some are failing to meet the needs of their wives. Some are failing to get in touch with their children. And they're failing to express adequate affection and approval to their children. And some are failing to communicate godly values and spiritual truths to their families. You know, that's our responsibility as heads of family. And we have the responsibility of, you know, whether we do it, or when we see that it gets done, it's our responsibility. God has given that responsibility to us as men, as heads of the family. Some are failing to lead their families, though, into holiness and righteousness. And they're going to answer to God for that one day. By nature, most men, we know, are task-oriented. Most men tend to find their identity in their work. And with us, it's a lot of us about, like, you know, conquer. You gotta conquer that thing. You gotta get her done. You know, and that's the mentality that we have. And consequently, they tend to take their jobs seriously, but they neglect their families. You know, they got the get her done mentality with the job, and they come home and they just want to let everything go. But God wants you to get her done at home too. Amen. Get those responsibilities. You have responsibilities at work. You get those done, but you need to do those responsibilities at home. There's no career or hobby or anything else worth losing your marriage or your children over. And by the way, that goes for both men and women. You know, don't take your job seriously and neglect your family. So God first, family second. Number three, a man's next priority must be to himself. But not really in a selfish way. He must make a priority of developing inner character and personal righteousness. And we saw those things this morning. There in Psalm 112 shows us the result of a man who has made a priority of developing his inner character and personal righteousness. In other words, he fears God. He delights greatly in the Word of God. And we see those things that in verse number 2 and 4, he's upright. Verse 3, 4, 6, and 9. So tell us he's righteous. Verse 4 tells us he's gracious. Verse 4 tells us he's full of compassion. Verse 5 tells us he's a good man. Verse 5 tells us he's discreet. Verse 7 and 8 talk about that he's fearless. Verse number 7 talks about he's a reliable man of faith. Verse number 9, he's charitable. And verse number 9, also he has power with honor. All of these characteristics come from those first two of fearing the Lord and delighting greatly in the Lord's commandments. And when we need to make a priority of developing our inner character and our personal righteousness, those two things are going to be there. That's a priority in our lives to develop our inner character and develop our personal righteousness. But unfortunately, too many men are more focused on selfishly fulfilling their lust than they are on developing inner character. And that next shotgun, or that next truck, or going hunting, or going fishing, or focusing on whatever. And those things are not wrong. I'm just saying you need to take care of the priority things in your life also. Life's not all about us. It's about God. It's about His person, His plan for us. Let me challenge you all, especially you men, to start giving as much attention to your inner character and your personal righteousness as you give to your careers and making money. Your wife and your children don't need a rich man in the family, a rich husband and father. What they need is a righteous husband and father. Think about your priorities. Are they where they should be? So properly arrange the priorities in your life. And then last of all tonight, we see that we are to assume the place of our responsibilities. Assume the place of our responsibilities. We've seen how Psalm 112 describes a man who both fears the Lord and finds great delight in the Lord's commands. And when we fear the Lord and find great delight in God's Word, we come to realize the various places of responsibility that God has given to us in this world, and then we realize that we need to fulfill those responsibilities by grace. You know, He's given us various responsibilities. You do have, I'm not denying the fact that you've got responsibilities at work, on the job, you've got responsibilities at home, you've got responsibilities in different areas, you've got responsibilities at church. What I'm saying is that we've got those responsibilities in our families as husbands and fathers. We have responsibilities in our society as citizens and as businessmen or as employees. We have responsibilities in our church as gifted members of the body of Christ. But we are to be responsible in the places where we have those responsibilities. God expects us to be responsible. And He can give us the ability to be responsible in those areas. So, listen, we need to realize that someday we're going to give an account to God on how we conducted our life and how we fulfilled the various roles that God's given to us. We're going to stand before the Lord one day. And it's not just what we've done personally in our personal life. Yes, our personal life is important, but it's how we affected the lives of our family, how we affected the life of our wife and our children, and others that were around us. How do we do in our responsibilities that we have? And listen, the question tonight is: do you need to make some changes in your life? And don't put it off. You need to make the changes today. So, you might think, well, it's too late for me. My children are grown. there are still people you can affect with your life. Amen? My children are gone and grown, but I still have an effect on those grandbabies. Don't you just love them? You know, they're just the cutest thing. The best thing God, you know, has done for us in a long time is giving us those grandbabies. And you look at them, and they look to Papa and Grandma, you know. Just, they look to Mama and Daddy, but they look to us too. And we can have an effect on their lives. And really, even your grown children's lives. You know, your children still look to you, and their adulthood, and then your adulthood. How many times do your children call and ask for your advice? You know, run something by you. Well, how are you answering them? Are you answering them from a worldly standpoint, or are you answering them from a biblical standpoint, from the standpoint of God's Word? What I'm saying is that we still have roles to play. And if there's some changes that we need to make, we don't need to put it off. We need to go ahead and make the changes today that we might, even if we messed up in the past, there ain't nothing we can do about the past, that from this point forward we can be what we need to be. Where does the powerful real change come from? Well, it comes from the Lord's help, and it begins at the foot of the cross. That's where we got His new nature from, and we know that what Christ wants us to be, and from there we must take delight in the Word of God because it contains all the principles we need for God to live in. Amen. So I trust that this will help each of us, not just the men tonight, but ladies, you too. These four things that I've shared, they have a part in your life also. I mean, you got to have your priorities right. You got to assume the responsibilities you have just as much as the men do. But because it's Father's Day, we focused on the dads today. But trust it's been a help to you. And if you need some help tonight, go to the Lord or come to me. I'm trying to help you any way I can. But let's have a word of prayer, and we'll have an invitation tonight in case somebody needs to come. Father, we just thank You so much for Your great love for us. We thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for these principles that we've seen tonight. We just pray, Lord, that You'd help us to take and realize the great effect we have on others and around us, both those that are close to us and Lord, those that we just touch for maybe just a short period of time. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us to embrace the responsibilities that You've given to us. Whether we be men or women tonight, whether no matter what place of responsibility we have, in the family or outside of the family, Lord, help us to glorify You in all that we do. Lord, that's the thing. Are we glorifying You? And Lord, that's what we need to seek to be doing. And if we put You first, surely we'll do that. And God, we just pray now You'd have Your will and way this invitation for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.